Well, as I was suggesting, I think this is an important story, the story of Rahab. And like many of the stories we've been reading and considering this summer, it's unfortunate that her story never appears in the lectionary. Rahab is a fascinating person in the history of Israel, and I'll get to that. But first, a reminder of what's going on here. First of all, the story may remind you a bit of last week's story. Remember when Moses sent spies into the promised land, and 10 of those 12 spies gave a negative report. They said, oh, the land is too well fortified. The people are too powerful. We'll never be able to take it. And two of those spies, Joshua and Caleb, instead say, no, the Lord is on our side. We can take it. And because of this, God says to the people, you will wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all of you have died and the next generation is ready to enter the land, with two exceptions. Joshua and Caleb will be allowed to enter. So we've jumped ahead 40 years now. Joshua is the leader of the people, and they're on the verge of the promised land again. And Joshua sends these two spies. Maybe he realized 12 was too many. He picked two particular people who would give a good report, maybe. Sent them in and said, pay particular attention to Jericho. Jericho being the real crux of the promised land, lying right near the River Jordan at the good crossing. If we're going to take the land, we need to start with Jericho. So scope it out. Now, it is interesting, these two men, the mission kind of goes awry from the start. The two men go into Jericho and go to the house of Rahab. Now, why do they go to her house? All we know about her is she's a prostitute. They're supposed to be scoping out the city, and they go right to the local brothel. I'll leave you to determine why they might have done this. We're not really told. It doesn't seem the most logical place to start, but maybe it was. Maybe they knew, here's someone who knows the people of this town well, and we'll get some information. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say that that was the reason they went. Regardless, they went to the right place because Rahab has heard about God, has heard about the Hebrew people, and is willing to help them. So she hides them. The word of their presence has gotten around, and the leaders come to her and say, we hear that these men came to your house. And Rahab says, again, interestingly, she says, well, of course they came here. But she says, they didn't stay. I didn't know where they were from. And I sent them on their way. What's great about this part of the story, I think, is if you're a fan of classic Hollywood movies like I am, particularly Westerns, we've got a couple of great cliches. Here's where they come from. We've got, first of all, the prostitute with the heart of gold, coming from one of the great Westerns. I would invite you to watch this week, if you've never seen it, particularly a great Western called Stagecoach, made in 1939, that sets the pattern for a lot of these cliches. It has, amongst the characters, a drunken doctor who appears in a lot of Westerns, and a prostitute who's being thrown out of the city by the good folks who are much less compassionate than she turns out to be. Anyway, there's your viewing suggestion for a good movie this week, Stagecoach. Rahab probably realizes the people of Jericho do not particularly like her. She's been looked down upon, I suspect, because of her gender and her profession. So she's ready to give her allegiance to the folks coming in to conquer. So she hides the men, and then when the people of Jericho come and say, were the men here? She says, yeah, but they've already left. They went that-a-way. You know, the old bait and switch. Oh, yeah, they were here. They went that way. You better, if you hurry, you might catch them. Again, a great cliche. It starts here. So all of them leave. Now, Rahab is smart. She's clever. She's shrewd. She's not only diverted those looking for the men, she has hidden the men on her roof, which means she has hidden them in plain sight. A roof in those days, you know, these are not skyscrapers. These are probably one-story buildings. The walls of the city look out over the rooftops. The king's palace probably looks out over the rooftops. She has hidden them in a place where she has total control over whether they get seen or not. She hides them under flax, but they can't get out of there without her help. And so she makes a deal with them. This is the true art of the deal here. She says to them, I will help you. I've hidden you. I'll let you escape. But you owe me something in return. Promise me when you invade that you will protect me and my family. And of course, they don't have a whole lot of choice here. They try and hem and haw a bit. Well, only if you keep our secret and only if you put this red cord in the window. And she says, yes, 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 but promise me. And they say, you've got our promise. And what's interesting is it reminds me a little bit of Passover. Remember in Passover, there's blood on the doorpost when the angel of death goes by. And the people in the house will be saved. Here it's a red cord. And when the invaders come in, they will keep everyone inside of Rahab's house safe. It's very clever. And then she says to them, okay, I've sent away the soldiers and those looking for you. I'll help you get out, go up into the hills for a couple days, and you'll be safe. And they do. In other words, Rahab makes sure without her help, this whole mission, the whole invasion, would not come to pass. She's clever. And she knows where her allegiance should lie. She sees the wave of the future, and she gets on board. Now, what's interesting about Rahab as a person is, given that she's a woman and a prostitute and someone probably looked down upon for a number of reasons in society, she is held up in Scripture as a righteous, faithful person. She's also not Jewish. She's a Gentile. But she's held up by the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament as one of the pillars and models of faith. This is in Hebrews 11, this famous passage going through this whole list of people who have been faithful. And there's Rahab, held up as a model of faith. James holds her up as a model of righteousness because of her works, because she knows God and she helps these spies. And Rahab also, maybe most interesting, appears in Matthew's genealogy in chapter 1 about the descendants of Jesus, or the ancestors of Jesus. There's Rahab, along with just a few other women mentioned. This Gentile, outcast woman held up as a model of faith and righteousness. And I think that may be the bottom line message of Rahab. A reminder that God can use and will use and does use anyone. It doesn't matter what we might think of them. Doesn't matter what society or culture might think of them. In fact, God loves to use people that the rest of us just write off. You know those people that when you see them coming, you duck into the store because you don't even want to talk to them? Those are the people that God says, I'm going to use them. The people that we might think of as outcast, unredeemable. Oh, the bad people. God loves to use people like that. Just, I think, to show us. And maybe to remind us that none of us is quite as good as we think. God can use even people like us. So I present to you, remind you of Rahab, the crux of the whole invasion of the Promised Land. This outcast, this unusual, this unexpected ally in God's kingdom. Chosen not because of her social position, chosen because she is smart and loyal and sees who God is. And so this week, as you're going about your daily life, especially if at moments you might feel underappreciated or overlooked, or as you encounter people that you might tend to underappreciate or overlook, I invite you to keep Rahab in mind, to remember that good stewardship is about God using whatever gifts we have been given, regardless of what anyone else may think of us. And remember that the decision to use your gifts and your talents and your shrewdness and your smartness and your faithfulness, which God wants to use in all of our lives, that decision really comes down to you. And you recognizing the opportunity to be the crucial cog in God's plans when they come. The opportunity will come. I invite you to remember Rahab and to take it. Amen.